Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Cupertino Show. We're going to have a great show again because we have the wonderful, the knowledgeable man by the name of Reverend Dr. Colonel William Harrison. He's going to be the guest keynote on the show again. Many of you have asked about him, and as always, we always tend to give you a little bit of Dr. Harrison at the end of the show. We can also let you know how you can contact him. The show this morning is entitled Runaway Hell in America. What is the reason? And, of course, what is the solution? You're waiting for answers. And, again, Dr. Harrison is with us again. He has some answers. Call in the number 516-595-8247. I'm going to say it again. 516-595-8247. Colonel Harrison will be glad to answer your questions. Again, the title of our show this morning, April 28th, is Runaway Hell in America. What in the world is going on? Dr. Harrison, are you on the line?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Cupertino. I pray all is well with you and your listening audience, and thank you for having me again. I'm here.
Well, you know what? I think you're going to end up being the co-host. Because everyone wants to hear what you have to say. I'm doing fine. I have a slight cold, so you can hear it in my voice. It may not sound all that great, but, you know, I'm feeling good. I'm positive, and I know our Creator lives. With that knowledge, you know, you can run on for another day. But thank you so much for coming again and sharing your heart, your love, and your insights. You know, there's problems going on all over the world, but it seems like America is being hard hit. 1 in 4 has cancer. You have 1 in 2 divorces that end after two years of both saying I do. You have 1 in 5 children living with single parents, no fathers in sight. You have 21 million Americans addicted to drugs, porn, and hardcore alcohol. My goodness, something is wrong. It appears that there's no way out, no solution, no answer. What is going on in America, in your opinion, Colonel Harrison?
Well, thank you, Dr. Cupertino, for asking me that monumental question. I will give you what I believe, in my opinion, and my assessment, and my perspective on what is going on in America. Try to take each of those three subjects that you just presented to us. Divorces are increasing because people believe the institution of marriage is failing, and the institution of marriage, as defined by the number one best-selling book of all times, which is the Bible, defines marriage as that between male and female. Divorces are probably coming about, in my experience in counseling and so forth, I found the number one cause of separation between husband and wife, which ultimately leads to divorces, is the lack of effective communication. The husband or the wife fail to communicate with each other wholesomely, respectfully, and continuously. I found that to be the number one cause with respect to divorce. So therefore, we have divorces in the secular world. Outside, if I may just use the secular world and church as two references, and within the church, some says that the percentage or the number of divorces in the church reflects the number of divorces outside, supposedly somewhere around 45-50%. That said, that is true across the board, depending upon what denomination may be. So much with respect to divorces. Moving to children, single parents. That has been problematic ever since I was in law enforcement. We have the children sometimes abandoned by the parent or single parent unable to feed the child and provide the necessary sustenance for the child and end up in a shelter, or the husband or the father of the child has left the home or never was in the home, and so our society is breaking down. Then we have teen teenage girls getting pregnant at an early age, and then, of course, the young boy being a teen, for the most part, not knowing how to father a child, has no job to provide resources and sustenance for the child and or the mother. So the same parent evolution is ongoing because it appears that our young girls are becoming pregnant at an earlier age. Lastly, then I'll pause. Drug addiction has been systemic since time immemorial in our country. And some people initially indulge in it as a form of social recreation, and I guess it depends upon what economic level or your income level. If you're at a high income level, probably over $100,000 a year, and you go to these cocaine parties, then it's recreational, and you do it the same as people would drink liquor at the nightclub, at the bar, in their private home, or at a private party. But the drugs that are on the street, which is the problem, and people becoming addicted, and we don't have enough treatment facilities available through the various city governments, states, and resources and so forth, and thus our drug epidemic is increasing because the chemical dependency of drugs dictates to the body that one must have it in order to survive. So I'll pause that.
My goodness, you've said a lot in a nutshell. We're talking about marriage right now, which is really a component of the family that the Creator has set in place. Now, when we mention divorce, what happens to children? What happens to those children that are a part of that marriage? Do you think that has anything to do with hell on earth when it comes to youth roaming, killing, getting involved in gangs? Disrespecting authority all the way down the line. What is your thought on that, Colonel Harrison?
Absolutely affects the children. Children, for the most part, if the mother and father are in the same home, are endeared to their parents. And so they depend on both parents for love, for welfare, for clothing, food, shelter. So when one or the other parent is not there, most single parents are females in the household. So the child, the father not being in the household, the child goes outside seeking love, seeking attention, seeking affection from others on the outside, from their peer group. Oftentimes that peer group is involved in a gang or leads them to a gang. And so the gang initially pretends to love them, care for them, to embrace them and orientate them into their way of thinking, and they become endeared and embraced by that gang, and they embrace the gang members, and they start doing the things that the gang does so they can feel accepted. And so the gang, I don't have to tell those of us who have been around, there are all kinds of gangs. And so the gangs sell drugs, the gangs involved in prostitution, the gangs involved in robberies and burglaries and drug trafficking and on and on and on. And so if we're not securing our base with our children, then our children are going to get out there and get caught up in the radicalism of society, which is crime and chaos. Therefore, chaos is being perpetuated in society through our children because of the lack of provision for them, the lack of love, the lack of proper attention and discipline within the home by the mother and or father.
My. That perfect reflect a very good picture. Now, there's a scripture that talks about in the so-called time of the end of roaming youth and how America would be ruled by youth to their detriment. Because, of course, you know, you were on the show last week and we were talking about this same thing about youth and how they're not really paying attention to good judgment. But that scripture is very scary. It's actually saying that these children would be roaming the streets in the last days, making commands, disrespecting the elders. How are we to live with something like that, that type of a word that really stems from prophecy? What is your take on that?
Well, Doug, that is a frightening thought. And those of us who are adults that have children and haven't reared them properly, are contributors to that that belief. Yes, the Bible says in 1 Timothy that there in the last days men shall be lovers of themselves, heady, high-minded, so forth and so on. Well, when we're so focused on ourselves as adults, and whether it be men or women, and not focused on our children, then our children are going to perceive us as being ineffectual. Not only ineffectual, but they're going to perceive us as not caring for them. And again, they're going to seek what they do, but the kids do not have the training. They do not have the knowledge. They do not have the insight. They do not have the wisdom to navigate the many variables we have in the society. Wisdom, number one, comes from God, and I found that also we learn wisdom as we get older through life experiences. So it always has been during my time, the elder passing information on to myself and those of us who were younger to give us insight in certain life experiences so we won't make mistakes, won't fall into the same pitfalls and so forth and so on, so we can hopefully have a better quality of life. But children have to have a foundation. They have to be taught principles, and they have to be taught life experience things that we have always experience, and it has to be passed on to them. They're out there going just winging it. Chaos and happenstance is going to create more chaos in America. So we have kids out here doing those things like a runaway train that's on a track. Either the train is traveling too fast on the straightaway, or the train is traveling too fast as it approaches the curve. And if it doesn't slow down, then the train is going to, of course, have an accident. So that's my thought in regards to that.
But you know, I found that scripture that I just mentioned seconds ago. It's in the book of Isaiah 3:4-5. Now keep in mind, we're not espousing any religious teaching here on the show, but we certainly are going to give God his credit. This scripture says the prophet Isaiah foretold a situation of rebellion by youth, by teens. And he says that, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall then be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, meaning the elders, our elders, and the base against the honorable. As for my people, children are their oppressors. So many people fail to recognize that elevating the reasoning of these children above fundamental principles that created the greatest freest single nation in history really is perilous. They are having them walk about with the spirit of rebellion that threatens to unleash more chaos than it solves. Yet adults across the nation are getting in behind their children, and it's only because they don't know that they're under the edict of the scripture. I'm not too happy seeing the media even eager to publicize the condemnatory and her hyperbolic language that these youth are using while they're protesting against still to this day the NRI and gun control, pro or anti. Can we do now that these youth have been unleashed with this unbegotten type of power?
Well, that particular Bible text you make reference to in the book of Isaiah, and he was one of the greatest of the major prophets. God had Isaiah said that to the Hebrews of ancient Israelites in the Old Testament because the people, the ancient Israelites, had turned away from God. They started committing sin and all kinds of abomination, which was disrespectful to God, and they were disobedient. And so God had placed the children over the people to make the people suffer and be at the discretion of the children and be subjected to the children ruling over them because they were disobedient. And so that's why that came about. We have a similar thing now, present day. segue into 21st century. We have parents, as I said earlier, some parents, many parents probably didn't raise their children properly in a home or a single family, had a household, and mothers had done the best they could with their children, the absence of the father. And so the children reach a certain age, and they're going to take on the mentality and the mindset of those outside of the house and inside of the house. They think they have charge, and they're the ruler over their mother, which is erroneous. And but I'm suggesting that we can turn this around, but we got to turn it around by going back to the basic foundation of what I believe created the heaven and earth and everything that dwell therein, the great creator. And Isaiah says in 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. We got to return to those who believe. Got to return to the basic principles of the number one bestseller book, which has endured since time immemorial, since the creation of the world, which I believe in, many others believe in. We got to return to those basic spiritual principles. And then he, the creator, will turn the society around, and thus he will save America and other moral-abiding nations and people.
Well, you know, Colonel, I've heard women state, you know, I put my husband out, I ran my man out, and my son now is the head of this house. I told my son, hey, son, just get in behind what he had and what he left, and you're going to be in charge of this family. I've heard women actually say that. Now, that is giving some undue power to you that they really don't deserve. But in the same light, women are saying, you know what? I got my money. I don't need him. I don't want him or him around anymore. I don't need him to take care of me. Do you think that kind of thinking amongst mainstream women, and I'm talking about not just those women that are in politics and in business, average homemaker is saying, you know what, I got my job. I have my own money coming in. I don't need that food. Do you think that's part of the problem?
Yes, Doc, that is part of the problem, because anytime we start undermining the structure that is in place, a building is only as strong as its foundation. And my teaching, my learning, my understanding is that man was created to be the head and not the tail. And if you take that which was created by the spiritual being to be the head and try and make him the tail, then you're going to have chaos in the relationship. You have chaos in the household. You have chaos within the family. And you have chaos in the world. Clearly, man was made to be the head and not the tail. Woman should edify the man, help build the man up, help support the man, help encourage the man, provide affection to the man so that the man can go out into the world and do what he's been called and created and chosen to do. And if you try to put anything, a son, a daughter, in the household, outside the household, an outside man in the place of the man that's supposed to be in the household, in that woman's life, in that family's life, in that child's life, you will have chaos. It's not going to work, Doc. And that's the reason why we're having problems in society today.
Well, you know, I totally agree with that, and I know our listeners do as well, but we have another problem that's rising out of that kind of thinking. Women today are feeling that they're able to really run a household by themselves. They are saying that the man, while we recognize some of his obligation in the world, we really don't want him over us. We don't need any patriarchy telling us what to do anymore. They're saying we don't need to have men in our lives just to say we have a man. I think that's dangerous. And when you talk about hell on earth, it starts really
from the home. What do you think might be a solution to a woman's heart and mind that feels that way? Obviously, she's been hurt. Obviously, she's possibly been abandoned. Who knows? But the thinking has pervaded America, and it started from the home. How can that be turned around?
That's any time we try to infuse something that's unnatural into that which is natural, there's going to be confusion, there's going to be chaos. Briefly, in the beginning, my understanding of creation, the great spirit, the spiritual being, the creator, created man first, and he created woman as a helpmeet, a helpmate, because he said it's not good for man to be alone. So again, woman was to help complete man, help support man, help love man, help encourage man, and help assist man. Any other thing is not going to work. A woman may have a higher education, may earn a higher income, still not going to supplant or suffice the interaction and relationship of having a man in the house. And let me be specific about the man. The man, ideally, according to the teachings, that great book, should be a God-fearing man. So if a woman tried to make it on her own and has an opportunity to have the husband in the home and forces him out or disrespect him while he's in the home, whether there's children or not, that there will never be any peace. Peace begins within self, with self. And then after that, peace can be spread and extended to others around you, within the family, outside of the family. Society was not created, and man and woman was created to reproduce, be fruitful and multiply. And so there's no reproduction of our kind, of humankind, unless there is a male and a female component. Whatever one's preference is, that's their preference. But there will not be no reproduction according to the original intentions of the Creator. And so the man is to be honored. And if the man is structured and encouraged and nurtured to be to cleave to that which he's supposed to, which is God, then the man will be what he's supposed to be, and the woman should be what she's supposed to be, because the man will edify the woman, and he'll build up the woman, he'll take care of the woman, he'll love the woman, and thus he'll do the same for his child. Anything else will create chaos. And so we can't have chaos because the family is broken down, and everybody wants to do their own thing and think they can make it on their own. It wasn't designed for a man or woman to be alone. It was designed for us to have a mate.
Well, you know, I totally stand behind that thinking. But when you see women marching in the streets and you read those signs, man, go home, and other similar slogans, it gets very scary. And, you know, there's movies, there's films depicting women being the power champions without a need for men. You have people even in the churches stating that men and women are equal. You want to step up here and preach and teach and give communion and so forth and so on, hey, step on up. We see a lot of churches allowing feminists to come in with homosexual doctrine. Now, we're not bashing them. We feel, hey, do your own thing. Do what you want to do. If there's consequences to suffer, hey, no problem. That's not our problem. But when we see women being elevated to positions that some say that the Creator is not equipped them for, how do we get around that?
We get around it, Doug, by returning to the basic principles. If we go back, I guess, 2,000 years ago to the early church in the book of Acts, men were prominent in the church. Men were the ones who were the leaders in the church. And there were teachings in there that the woman was to remain silent 2,000 years ago in the church. And that was one of the reasons that they had those teachings in there, for the woman to remain silent so that strife, not saying women stir up strife only, so that strife would not be stirred up in the church. We've moved away from those principles. I believe in women live. I believe in women's suffrage. I believe in women equal rights, equal pay, and so forth and so on. I believe in all of that. But that there is an order in society. The women supporting, the women marching, the women advocating for freedom and better jobs and a better life and not to be sexually molested. I support all of that. But the men are the ones that are in these positions of authority, and so it was created that way. And so once women maintain their respectability, whether the man is in the home or outside of the home, there's a creator that's over all of us that will straighten this out. Women can't do it alone. The majority of the attendees in the church, congregation members, are female. That's because of disappointment, dissatisfaction, divorces, and all of that, and whoever man or whatever was in their life. But the key is finding a God-fearing man, and there are God-fearing men. We got to go back to building that base. God-fearing men got to step up. They got to come forward. They got to speak up against these things that are unright. That are not right, that are unrighteous, and then the women will fall in line and support them, and we can turn society around again. We can move it back in the direction that God intended for it to be, and we'll live a better quality of life in America and around the world. Men now are caught up in being more worldly than they are being spiritual, and that's one of the main problems.
My goodness, you know what? That in itself sounds scary, because you have a whole nation of women that don't believe in God, don't want to hear from God, don't want to know God, haven't taught their kids anything about God, and some are just saying, well, oh, you know what? I'm so confused. I don't know which God I should worship. This is what's going on. So how can someone differentiate between which God is which and which God is doing the best talking? I mean, should we be concerned about that, or should America return to God? I mean, is it just that in a nutshell? Should America return to God? And you have 60 seconds to answer that. Should America just hang it up and return to God?
Yes, America should return to God. And when the men take their rightful place and the men return to God, then the women will be compelled to turn to God. And the children will also live a godly life. We got to turn it around. The only way we can turn the direction America is going in around is through godly men, spiritual men, men having good moral principles and values and so forth. That's what has to happen. And if that doesn't happen, we're going to continue to head down the downward spiral, and chaos will continue to become greater in the United States and around the world until men return unto God.
Colonel Harrison, you have done it again. You've dispensed that great well of knowledge, and I'm sure our listeners are going to benefit. How can they contact you if they want to?
I can be contacted, Doc, on Twitter, WHARI_Raptor, RAPTOR, email WHARI1943@AOL.com, and on Facebook, you can contact me, William Harrison, on the Temple Hills, Maryland. So I just enjoyed being on the talk show again, and thank you so much, Doc, for having me here.
Oh, you are welcome. Now, let me say this. Your book, which talks about a solution to get us all out of chaos, is that book still for sale for $19.95 at Amazon.com?
Yes, it's still on sale, Doc. And the title of it is The Answer to Silver Unrest in the Land. It's still available at Amazon.com for $19.95.
Well, we still need to read that. We still need to have a copy at our bedside, because we do see the escalation and chaos. And, of course, no one seems to have a way out. Thank you so much, so very much, Colonel Harrison, for being on the show again. Now, all you listeners, you know you have an opportunity to call in. If you didn't do so today, we'll be right back on the same station, same time, next Saturday. Stay tuned for the Black Talk Radio Show, Dr. Cappuccino Show. Have a very good weekend. Goodbye, Dr. Harrison.
Bye-bye.